really, really simple. It is not as complicated as we like to make it. It's really simple. 2,000 years ago, or a little more, God sent in the flesh His Son. And He came and He did all these wonderful things that we read about, but the simplicity of it is this. He gave a sacrifice so that we can have a direct connection with Him. That we don't have to waste time and go through all these other channels and see the right guy and say the right things. He gave a sacrifice so that you could have a direct connection to Him. And in that direct connection is everything. There's liberty. There's freedom. There is forgiveness of all the stuff that we've done and are going to still do. You know, He didn't forgive you just for the things that you had done up until the point to where you got right with God. He went ahead and forgave you for all the stuff that you were going to do when that was over. It's real simple, guys, and it's all up to us. It's a choice that we get to make. It's our choice. Do we want to be in this connection, or do we want to stand by the connection, or do we want to walk away from our connection with God? It's really simple. That's how simple the gospel is. The gospel is so simple, guys, but we continue to make it so difficult. It's a choice for us to walk in this connection, and it's a choice for us to walk away from it. And so when we're here on Sunday mornings, this is not the game. You know, this is the practice, right? This is where you get to come with all these other people that are wanting to be into the connection, right? These are all the people that are at least halfway saying, I want to be inside the fire. I want to have a direct line to Christ. This is the easy stuff. And how and why, your why for worship, guys, your why for worship, it really is, it shows the strength of the connection that you have with your Savior. And I'm not talking about jumping up and down. I'm not talking about raising your hands. But right, I heard before, and it's a great statement, that your worship, how you worship, should just be that it should be your response, right, for what God has done in your life. It's just a response to that. It's just the response to that. And how strong that connection is, right? That's how strong your worship's going to be. I'm just being honest with you. And how weak the connection is, that's how weak your worship's going to be. And worship is just a direct response to God for what He's done for us, right? And it's not a one-time thing, man. You getting right with God 20 years ago, holy moly, like that should be an everyday thing. That's not a one-day thing. That's not, I'm going to worship Him like crazy for a good year and a half. And now I need something else from you, Jesus. That's what our worship should be. I'm going to go ahead and dismiss the kids to children's church. And try not to spit all over this microphone. I feel like I've got some things God wants me to bring forth this morning. Yeah, if we could, just because it makes me feel better, let's leave those off if it's okay. I just like it better. I don't like nobody looking at me as much. You know, it's bad. I just feel better. So that's not for y'all. That's for me. I apologize. I'm not going to let anybody sneak up on you in the dark. I'll call them out. All right. But I've got some things I want to share this morning. First of all, we got to continue to remember our pastor. I don't take it lightly that when he goes out of town that you know, he, from time to time, he entrusts me with having as little to do with possible with the service, because that's my goal, is to not have anything to do with this service, but just to kind of do what the Lord directs us to do. And so just continue to remember them, that they come back refreshed. I'm going to chase a couple of rabbits this morning, but I promise you I'll try to tie them together. As we're here on this Sunday, it's important for us to remember, this past week. It's not a Christian holiday per se, but it really is, okay? Because a bunch of Christians came up with it. I had a couple of kids from the high school. We've got some awesome stuff, but I had a couple of kids, and they've got a class. It's a film class, and they go around and they interview teachers and coaches and all these things. And so they always come to my room because they know I'm an easy get, I guess. Because I'm like, yeah, I'll do whatever you need me to do. They asked me, say, Coach, why is Thanksgiving important to you? They said, why is that important to you, right? And, if you guys ever spend a little time in my room, I'm a red-blooded American, right? And I'm a patriot, and I believe in doing the right thing, whether the rules call for it or not. You know, I don't believe in rules. I believe in principles, by the way. You know, I've said that before, I think, from here. We don't go out and not murder people because it's in the rule book. We go out and not do that because it's the right thing to do. And so most of you speed because you don't believe in that rule. That's not part of your principles. 10 miles over the speed limit is part of most of our principles here in the South. So anyways, I was like, well, I got to tell them what I think about Thanksgiving. And here's what jumped up on the end. And by the way, this sermon is not about Thanksgiving. So if you're like ready to like ease on into 3 points and some cranberry dressing, sorry, this was just a small rabbit I wanted to chase this morning. But I said, man, you know why it's important? It's because as we move on to this next season, it's really easy, just as people, not as Christians, for us to look at the inventory that we're going to get, right? Even as Christians, we're looking at that inventory that we're about to receive, which is the gift of Jesus, right? We're looking at the inventory of things to come. Thanksgiving is important because it's important for us to take the inventory of the things that have been given to us, right? It's important for us to stop and say, you know what? 20 years ago, this is where I was and this is where I am. You know, it's the old saying, I'm not where I want to be, but thank God I'm not where I used to be. And for me, this week was that, man. This week was, hey, man, golly, if it wasn't for X, Y, and Z, man, I'd be in some doggone trouble, you know? And sometimes, a lot of times, our main thanks for that needs to be Christ Jesus. Because without Him, there is no connection, and we're all in a whole heap of trouble. But a lot of times, it's people, too. There may be some people that are gone out of your life, they're not there anymore. But man, there's some people in there that have helped out. And, again, this is just free stuff right here. Don't get so caught up in thinking that you're so good at what you do that you made it to where you are all by yourself. I work with some folks that are that way. Nobody ever gave me nothing, nobody. Hey, I always work for everything. Somebody gave you a job. Somebody looked through all your junk and your narcissism and said, I'm going to give a job anyway. Okay, so somebody gave you a job, right? And so don't become so manly and worldly to think that, man, there wasn't a lot of people in small places that helped you up along the way, okay? And I know I'm one of those, and I just kind of wanted to get that out this morning before we got into anything else. And so I like Selah. Moving on, right? So I got a couple of questions for you this morning, and I've never done this. I got like little questions, and I want you to think about them and let it marinate, and I'll give you some awkward silence in between so that you can actually do those things. But my first question is, why are we the way that we are? Why are you the way that you are, right? Why do you act the way that you act? Why do you say the things that you say? Why do you watch the things that you watch? And in college, right, everybody, if you had any of that, and one of the classes you take, it's one of the psych classes, or I don't know, one of those classes where they get you thinking about life and all these things, the answer always comes, and you don't have to raise your hand, the answer is, this is the correct answer, is we are the sum of all of the things, the sum of all of our experiences. And that's why we are the way that we are. We're the sum of the things that have happened to us. That's what they tell us anyway, right? And so I sat there and I was listening to this however long ago that was, I was like, no, man, that's wrong. You half right. Okay, but here's the second. We're not the sum of our experiences. We're the sum of our experiences and how we have reacted to those. We're the sum of our experiences and how we have reacted to those. So what do I mean by that is man, as Americans, we love free will. We love capitalism and we love free will. And that's a big thing in the word is it's all a choice. You get to choose. It's a pick-your-own-adventure book, and you're in charge, right? We're in charge of this thing. And so it's how we react to it. As a coach, we've said this, and it's true. Life is 10% about what happens to you and 90% how you react to it. Things are going to happen that you can't control. What you can control is what our reactions are to this, okay? And so I don't want us to think for a quick second that because we give our life to Christ that everything's supposed to be super easy and that all our reactions are going to be right here and everything's going to be just fine and cute and pretty and it's put in a box and there's a bow on it and there you go. Because that ain't it. That ain't it, Chief. That ain't it. You look at the men that walked the closest with Christ, look how their story ended. It wasn't with a big old house and a white picket fence and 3 cars and 2 dogs and 17 grandkids. It's not how it ended. A lot of them ended dying for what they believed in because they were different. See, we're afraid to be different. We are afraid to look different. And I don't mean the clothes you wear. That's easy, okay? I mean your path to what you call success, or what I call success, well, we ain't different. We're the same as the world in most of that. We want our nice car. We want our nice home. We want, you know, our kids to go to the college we want them to go to, and we want grandkids, and we want that's our definition of success. We're wrong. Those are good things, and those are things that we need. Those are things that will make us happy, right? Those are things that we want. But if that's the measure of our success, we're missing. We're missing the point. Matthew 28, again. Our whole purpose on this earth, the reason that you are here, is to create disciples and become a better one. It's really simple. That's it. The other stuff, that's icing on the cake. I'm not sitting here telling you that you're supposed to walk around in ashes and your clothes torn and be homeless, but tell everybody you love Jesus. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is that is a byproduct of serving Christ with all that you have, and he's going to find you in places, right, that give you the opportunity to attain those things, not to guarantee those things. Okay, but the opportunity. And so, you know, that's my question, is why are you the way that you are, right? And I want to read some scripture really quick that we've read in here several times, Acts chapter 28. And I'm reading from the New Living Translation this morning, for those of you keeping up. All right, and this is about the Apostle Paul. I was talking about the guys that followed Jesus the most closely, right? Right, and Paul has some experiences. We could say that Paul is probably the most influential Christian of the modern era. Writes a lot of this stuff that we read, right? And there's a lot of people where this whole story originates that look to the Apostle Paul, right, for the correct answers on how we're supposed to live as Christians. And so he's the guy. And so, you know, everything went well with him, and he got to die peacefully because everybody loved him the end. Wrong. Wrong. We know, here's some things that I know about Paul, and you guys may know a lot more than I do. He was shipwrecked at least 3 times. Minimum 3 times. Some people say it was more like 6. Shipwrecked at least 3 times, okay? Imprisoned, okay? Did not, you know, didn't end up well for him. Died in chains, basically. Before he accepted Christ, he ended up blind for a little while, had changed his name, right? Like, it was not like this wonderful high five, I got saved, and everybody gave me a hug type thing, okay? It was a tough, tough deal for him, but for the most part, we at least perceived that he was able to keep his eyes on the prize, right? And so in chapter 28, this is just another one of Paul's shipwrecked issues here. And so, by the way, for him, before he got on the boat, he was in prison. They were just moving the bad guys to somewhere else, okay? And he was one of the bad guys, right? And so he's on this boat with a lot of criminals, and they're moving him. And so they become shipwrecked, and they were actually going to kill them all, you know, because they got stuck. They'd run aground. They were going to kill all the bad guys so that they could all make a break for it. And one of the guys was like, no, let's not do that, at least with this guy for sure. Let's give everybody a chance to make it, you know, and that will let the gods sort them out, see how that goes, right? So here we are. Paul makes it to shore, right? So chapter 28, verse 1. Once we were safe on the shore, we learned that we were on the island of Malta. The people of the island were very kind to us. It was cold and rainy, so they built a fire on the shore to welcome us. Verse 3, as Paul gathered an armful of sticks, he was laying them on the fire. A poisonous snake, I think KJV refers to this as a viper, was driven out by the heat and bit him on the hand. The people of the island saw it hanging from his hand, and they said to each other, he's a murderer, no doubt. Though he escaped the sea, justice will not permit him to live. So they basically took this as a sign, like this guy's a bad guy, okay? Because, man, that's just terrible luck. This guy's been shipwrecked. Now he's gotten bit by a snake trying to help, you know, hook us up with the fire. The gods are not kind to this guy. Verse 5, but Paul shook off the snake into the fire and was unharmed. The people waited for him to swell up or suddenly drop dead. But when they had waited a long time and saw that he wasn't harmed, they changed their minds and decided that he was a god. So he had been judged. And then he got judged again, right? Nothing good is happening to Paul at this point, okay? But Paul's not worried about it. It's a mindset thing, and we're going to get to that in just a second, okay? Some of us wouldn't have made it through that. Like, some of us would have got mad because we were surrounded with a bunch of bad guys in the first place, and we were better than that, and we had lived at this elevated status. Some of us wouldn't have made it through there to begin with. Nevertheless, 7. Near the shore where we landed was an estate belonging to Publius, the chief official of the island. He welcomed us and treated us kindly for 3 days, and as it happened, his father was ill with fever and dysentery. Those are things that killed people back in the day. There were no modern medicines that were around. If you got a fever or dysentery, a lot of times you died. So Paul went in and prayed for him, and laying his hands on him, he healed him. And then all of the other sick people on the island came, and they were healed. And as a result, we were showered with honors, and when it came time to sail, the people supplied us with everything that we would need for the trip. Nothing in that story says, high five, Paul. Hey, we gave Paul a house. We gave Paul a car because he was living right. It was all for others. Paul's purpose on that island wasn't for Paul. It was for somebody else and somebody else and somebody else. And we have gotten so self-centered that these things are about us. And that's not the gospel, guys. The gospel is we're here to foster that in others. That is what a disciple is to foster that connection with others. That is our purpose in life. And if Paul would have focused on the negative, if he would have focused on the station that he was at, right, he would have probably became frustrated. And that connection that he had with God may not have been as strong as it needed to be when they said, hey, man, we need you to pray for this guy because he's in trouble. And I don't know what all goes into that. If I did, I promise you, I would lay hands on every single sick person I could find and be like, be healed in Jesus' name. We're chasing those things, right? We're chasing those things. We're chasing God, and by chasing God, he's gonna hook us up with that. It may be me, maybe my kid, but he's gonna hook us up with that. But Paul focused on the situation. Now, in this sermon, or in this passage, there was a sermon preached here a long time ago, like 20 years ago. One of my favorite sermons ever heard in this pulpit, right? And I've preached it to pregame football and preseason wrestling guys. Damon Thompson stood up here and he did the shake it off. Mm-hmm. Yeah, y'all remember when he went? It was good too, and I loved it. And he told the story about the old mule, right? That it fell down a well and farmer. He was tired of it anyway. He was going to kill this old mule and started burying it alive, right? And he kept working, and he kept looking down, and there wasn't any dirt on the mule. And then he finally watched, and that mule would just shake it off and step up, right? And he talked about shaking it off and stepping up into the new challenges. And that is a wonderful one. That's one of those like moments in my life. I can look back. I got that one. Like, I'm not losing that one. I don't need my notebook for that one. I got that one. You know what I'm saying? But that's not really where I want to go this morning, but that's good stuff. If you want to kind of chase and dig into that, shaking off those things that affected you, right? But I want to move on just a little bit, right? So we've got Paul and we've got the scripture that we just read, and then I want to turn into numbers really quick, all right? So the question is, why are we the way that we are? And then my second question for you is, what do you want? What do you want? What are you looking for? And I'm going to give you some awkward silence for a second. I want you to ask yourself, what do you want? What do you want out of life? What do you want out of Christ? What do you want out of your relationship with Jesus? Like, why are you doing it? I'm not going to answer anything. I just want to read some scripture, right? So in Numbers chapter 13, this is the story of Moses and the Israelites who have just escaped, right? They've just escaped captivity in Egypt. And they, for those of you that may not know the story, Moses leads them out of captivity. The Egyptian army is chasing them. They split the sea. God splits the sea open. They literally are watching the water, walls of water on the sides of them as they walk across on dry land. And now they're getting ready to go inherit this promised land to them. So in chapter 13, the Lord now says to Moses, send out men to explore the land of Canaan, the land that I'm giving to the Israelites. Send one leader from each of the 12 ancestral tribes. So Moses did as the Lord commanded him. He sent out 12 men, all tribal leaders of Israel, from their camp in the wilderness of Paran. These were the tribes and the names of their leaders, and I'm not going to read all of them for you, but out of the 12 tribes, there's certain individuals that are going to go on this trip. Guys, it's a scouting trip, okay? To put this in football terms, right? You're going to go watch a team you're playing next week, kind of see what it's all about. Verse 16, these are the names of the men Moses sent out to explore the land. Then he makes the note that Hoshea, son of Nun, Moses called him Joshua. So 17, Moses gave the men the instructions and he sent them out to explore the land. He told them, go north. And so I'm going to sum this up for you, and we're going to skip down to 25 after that. He says, hey, I need you to find everything about it. Are they big? Are they tall? Are there cities? Do they have gates around them? Do they not? You know, what's the food look like? What's the livestock look like? What's their life look like? Take notes on everything, right? And then bring me back some of the food, right? And just tell me what's going on. Right? And so here's the report. In verse 25, after exploring the land for 40 days, the men returned to Moses and Aaron, the whole community of Israel at Kadesh in the wilderness of Paran. And they reported the whole community what they had seen and showed them the fruit that they had taken from the land. This was their report to Moses. We entered the land that you sent us to explore, and it is indeed a bountiful country, a land flowing with milk and honey. Here's the kind of fruit that it produces. Shows them the fruit. Guys, and in this whole thing, there you've heard the term the grapes of Eshkol. The grapes were so big it took two men to carry a cluster of them, right? So, like, it's the place, right? This is the promised land. And they say, it is a land indeed flowing with milk and honey. And here's the kind of fruit it produces. And in verse 28, but, there's a but, the people living here are powerful and the towns are large and fortified. We even saw giants there, the descendants of Anak. The Amalekites live in Negev, and the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites live in the hill country. The Canaanites live along the coast of the Mediterranean Sea and all along the Jordan Valley. But Caleb, there was one, who tried to quiet the people as they stood before Moses, and he said, let's go at once and take this land because we can certainly conquer it, right? But the other men who had explored the land with him disagreed. We can't go up against them. They're stronger than we are. So they spread a bad report about the land among the Israelites. The land we traveled through and explored will devour anyone who goes to live there. All the people we saw were huge. We even saw giants there, the descendants of Anak. And next to them, we felt like grasshoppers, right? So my question is, what do you want? What does success look like for you, right? What do you want? What does success look like for you? Well, success to the Israelites at this time looked a lot like the promised land. That's what they were told they could get, right? Not only are we going to get you out of Egypt, right, which I know you were there for a very, very long time. The way in which we do it, you're going to run away. I'm going to open an entire body of water for you, right? And then I'm going to let you go across on dry land. You'll get to see it, right? And then we're going to bring you on into this other side, right? Unscathed. You're safe. And now I'm going to give you this awesome land. And then they go, not real sure about that, God. How dumb are those guys, right? I mean, can we not read this and look at how stupid they are? Would we not agree that this is, because like, there's a difference between being stupid and being ignorant, right? Ignorance is you just don't know what you don't know. You know, you don't know what you don't know. There's nothing wrong with being ignorant, okay? The problem comes is when you learn something and then you don't do it anyway, that's when you're stupid, right? That's when you, and I use this every day in my classroom, Amanda, I'm sure you do too, right? There's a difference between the two. And we look at these guys and they knew God could do what he wanted to do. He literally just got them away from a stronghold, right? We knew this as we do the same doggone thing. We do the same thing. Promotions, it's not for me, God. You know, I don't think I could go and do all that work that I need to do. Politics, man, somebody needs to be in charge that's a good Christian, but I don't know that I could do that. Adam, buddy, look, just because you're supposed to do it doesn't mean it's going to be easy. There may be some doggone giants in the way, but the same God that you got right with is the same God that's asking you to go forth and do things that are more than what you think you can do. If you can think about it, then there's a possibility for you to do it. You can't. That's just the way it works. We have 60,000 thoughts that come through our mind in an 18-hour period. Now, we can only think about one of them at a time. By the way, they've proved that. You only think about one at a time, right? But 60,000 thoughts. If you can think about it, it can be done. The question is, what are you willing to go through to get it done? That's the question. It's not that you can't do it, because you just saw God delivered you. You just saw God do supernatural things, yet now we question on whether or not he can do this thing. You saw, if you know the Lord, and you had, and see, I'm almost done using the term salvation, right? I'm done with that. I like the term get right, because it don't matter where you are, okay? If you've known God before, you don't know him now, or you're coming to, it's getting right with the Lord. If you've gotten right with the Lord, and you've received forgiveness for sins that you couldn't do yourself, and you have that supernatural experience, and you know that the God of the universe is talking to you and saying, hey, I love you. And that's big, guys. Let's stop. The God of the universe stopped and said, I love you so much that everything that you feel right now, I'm going to get rid of it. I'm going to let you cry your eyes out right here, not because you're sad, but because you feel more love than you've ever felt before in your life. If the God of the universe can get that emotion out of you, right, without physically manifesting himself and touching you, right, you're telling me that the God of the universe can't give you favor in a situation? That you can't become X, Y, or Z? We do it all the time. We do it all the time. We see God do these wonderful, miraculous things. And then we go, that's not for me. That's for somebody else. No, that's weak, guys. That's weak, and that's not what we're called to be. That's us hiding behind something. Hiding behind failure. Hiding behind fear. Hiding behind a fear of, hey, you actually might win the election. Now what? Now what? Guys, I have been stretched beyond compare over this last month watching Tracy and Kiki McDaniel walk through the loss of their son. Not because of what went on, because I can't fathom. And we've seen it in the church, right? We know some things. But guys, the way that they have pressed in to their Savior, you have a choice to go one way or the other, right? They could have gotten mad and said, why me, God? This ain't right. I don't understand it. And guys, I can't tell you that that wouldn't have been me. But they said, no, I'm going to press into the only thing that I know is real, the only connection that I have that's going to bring something to me. They pressed into it. And they pressed into it, and they pressed into it, and they pressed into it. And Tracy has stood up, and he's given the message of, you know, I know this is going on with my son, but now why I got you here, since y'all showed up, since you felt bad for me, right? While I got you here, let me tell you about Jesus. That's what he used it for. I watched him do it. I watched people show up so that they could put their hand on his back and say, man, we love you, and we're praying for you. And he goes, yeah, I know, but let me tell you about Jesus. Like, I get what I know, but let me tell you about Jesus. And so sometimes we end up at some places, right, that we don't want to be in. But it's all in how we look at it, and it's all in having the mindset that I'm not here for me anyway. I'm here so I can say, let me introduce you to Jesus. When Paul was on this island, his mindset was not, let me build a fire. His mindset wasn't this. It's, what can I do to help introduce you to Jesus? And we look at that viper that attached itself to him like it's a negative thing all the time. Like it's a death or a sickness or a loss of something. Man, that viper could be anything. It could be pride. It could be a promotion. It could be how you handle success and wealth. And people are just watching you. And they're going to judge you. That's going to happen. Big deal. Nobody's going to judge you. Except that guy. And that's the connection you got to have, right? And so people are going to stand back and they're going to say, I want to see how she does now that she did win the lottery. What's she going to do with all that money? I bet she's going to move away. I bet she's going to do this. Or, hey man, her son just died of cancer. There's no way that they're going to maintain that Christian walk. People are always watching you. And the question comes back to, who are you connected to? Because if you're connected to Victory Fellowship, man, Victory Fellowship's great. It's been there for me for a lot of things. But Victory Fellowship ain't going to fix the fact that you just lost your kid to cancer. It can't. We don't have that ability. If we did, there'd be a lot more butts in the seats this morning. If we did, that's just being real. We don't. But I can tell you what the God that we serve does. The God that we serve understands that. So the question is, who are you connected to and how are you using that connection? Who are you connected to? Because if you're really connected to Christ, man, people are going to see that eventually. You may have to get shipwrecked 3 times. You may have to get bit by a snake. And you may have to survive death. Because guys, you get bit by a poisonous snake, like, you're not going to make it, right? You may have to survive some of those things just for a handful of people to say, man, that dude's got it. I know I've looked at him and I've judged him. I said he was evil like 5 minutes ago, but that dude's still here. That's Tracy McDaniel still praising Jesus. Kiki McDaniel still serving the Lord. And man, that's impressive because like 10 years ago, she was sorry and I thought she was this, that, and the other. But look at what just happened to her and look at where she is. That's the whole point. We look at these things as negative things. Oh, I just got to get through this struggle, brother. No. People are watching you get through. They know. They're not dumb. They know when you're going through stuff. And they're going to see how you react to it. So the question is, who are you connected to? And we use our connections all the time. I've used the mess out of mine. I don't mind telling you guys. I will name drop in a heartbeat if it will hook me up with something. I'm being honest with you, okay? 3 or 4 years ago, NCAA All-Star Wrestling match, for whatever reason, came to Atlanta. I don't know why it was here, because like we're just not that good at it, but it was here. No, it's not a big deal to y'all. It's a big deal to me, okay, because I like that stuff. And so it's in Atlanta, and it's at the North Avenue Trade School over there. And so it's in their gym. That's Georgia Tech, for those of you guys that didn't pick up on that. So it's in their gym, right? And it's down there on the floor, and I bring a couple of guys with me. And see, because God has blessed me and hooked me up with some connections, because I've been around some people and they've watched me, I knew a couple of these head coaches for these college teams, right? And so I just walked right on down to the floor like I was supposed to be there, right? And when they stop, I'm with him. And I walk right on over, I mean, in front of the world, and sit on the front row with head coach from Ohio State, head coach from Wisconsin. I'm just like, yep, because I know some of those guys, right? And you guys would have done the same thing. I promise you, if you had a friend of a friend. When I was in high school, we had a friend, and ain't nobody with me on this one, but we had a friend. I was trying to look for some help here, but nobody's here to help. We had a friend that was the cousin, and like not like cousin of a cousin of a cousin, but like legit, like hung out with, y'all remember Britney Spears? Yeah, we had a friend that was the first cousin, like hung out with in the summertime with Britney Spears. And we would like get around this girl, like, let's call her. And she would call her, like, oh my gosh, it's Britney Spears. And so like you walk around like, y'all talk to her today or whatever. And you didn't. You were just in the room while she was, right? But we used that connection like, yeah, well, it's not that big a deal. And people got tickets when she came to town and like got to go backstage. And we used that connection. Like if I was tight with Kirby Smart, man, I would be on the 50 every weekend. I would. I'm just being honest, guys. I would use that connection. Why in the world don't we use Christ? That's the connection that trumps them all. When people ask you, what's the secret to your success? When people ask you, hey, man, why are you a little bit different? Do you say, well, you know, I go to work hard, and I do this, and I do that. And those are true things, but those are all principles that come from this. I promise you, you're not going to find anything in business, right, that you do that's not in here. I promise you. All those good, the Proverbs, the book of Proverbs, it's in there, okay? So I don't want you to sit here and think, well, I went to business school, and business school taught me that. Yeah, guess where they got it from, okay? Proverbs, not from necessarily the people who wrote the Bible, but these good basic principles that everybody, but that's not why. That's not why. It's the connection. You've got to use your connection to Christ. When people watch that viper hanging off on your hand, they're gonna find out what your connection is. And it, like I said, it could be anything, but I don't understand why we don't use our connection to Christ. And listen, this hit me first, okay? So I don't want you to think I'm just throwing stuff at y'all all day, because that ain't it, okay? I'm chapped, okay? I got tore up with a lot of this stuff because it's really easy for me to point and say, well, I'm good at this, or I do this well, and this is where God has blessed me. But at the end of the day, it's the connection that I have with Jesus. I told the guys in the side room this morning, you know, it's about our connection with Him. You know, I've had people ask me, you know, why am I in education? He's like, here's a hint, there's not a lot of money in it. Like, I can't go work overtime, right, and get a little extra money for CRITMA, right, and all that stuff. I can't do that, okay? So I'm not doing it for money. So why do you do it? Is it easy? No, it's not. I promise you, I work as many hours as any person sitting here, excuse me, during this time of the year. I promise you I do. Like, tomorrow I will go in super early, get back at the house closer to 10 o'clock. That's just a normal day during wrestling season, okay? So I don't do it because it's got easy hours. Do it because the summers are off. Nope, because that's not true either, is it? Okay? Because the whole month of June, we're going to wrestle, right? And then the month of July, we're going to lift weights and get ready to wrestle. So why do you do it? I really felt like God, this is the one thing He told me. I felt like He's like, hey, man, when you're doing that, I'm looking down at you and I'm going, that's my guy. That's my dude. He's doing what he's supposed to do. Now, over here, he ain't, and he's not happy, and he's just like, golly, come on, dude, again. But when he sees me doing that, and he sees me standing in front of all those little kids, right, teenagers, y'all aren't really little. I mean, but you're younger, right? He sees me giving them pearls of wisdom, right, that come from here and come from here, and my life experiences showing my connection, right? Yeah, you don't have to say, well, hey, man, Jesus loves you to show them that while you're talking about the Declaration of Independence. I'm not telling you I'll go in there and that's all I do all day. What I'm telling you is they see that connection, right, that I have. And they wonder, what's different about this cat right here? Well, I'm going to tell you what's different about this cat is I know that out of everything, if I ain't in a good, strong connection with Christ, I'm going to be in trouble. I'm going to be in trouble. Because if I'm not, some of y'all know my testimony, right? It's not that big a deal anymore. Like back then, everybody was like, oh my goodness, my parents got a divorce and left. 30 years ago around here, people were like, oh my gosh, what a terrible thing that just happened to this young man and that family. How bad? Because people did, divorce? Oh my goodness. Man, that's, I would say half of the people in here at this point in time, at least my young people, they come from the same thing, except it's a lot worse, right? It's a lot worse. However, this happened to me a couple months after I got saved, if that, right? So, that was my first, like, hey, this thing's not going to be easy thing. But because I didn't run away, right? I didn't press away. So, well, this God thing's not real. For whatever reason, my heart knew I needed to press in. And I did, and I pressed in. And it ended up, I was here, right? And because I was here, Sydney and Lori were like, oh, man, we need to take care of that guy. We're going to help him out. Because my connection was to Christ, and I was doing and worshiping in a place of worship, I was in a position for someone to say, we're going to help that guy out. Had I walked away, had I decided I didn't need to be here, they wouldn't even know who I am. They wouldn't even know who I am. And that's not patting me on the back. That's me just understanding that the only thing that was true and real was my connection with Christ. Guys, that's the bottom line. And our job is to help foster that connection. If you're getting it right, if you're right now, you're like, hey man, I got it figured out, I'm in good shape, my business is rocking, Jesus is blessing me, my alone time is killing it. Your job is still to foster that connection for someone else who's struggling. Matthew 28, go make disciples. How do you make disciples? Make sure that connection's strong, show them the things that God has shown you. Make sure that connection's strong. Show them that. How do you make sure that connection's strong? You got to foster that. You need to talk to people and say, hey, man, how's it going? How's your life treating you? You got this going on? Man, that's tough. So here's my life experience. Here's what I can do for you. I can't fix it. I had kids come up to me last week bawling because their best friend just died. I had a little girl in my room. Every single class period, she would come by and just squalling. Ain't no magic answer to that. There's no just, magic fairy dust. There's no Bible verse I can tell her. There's none of those, well, here's what happened when it happened to me that's going to fix her. What's going to fix her is making sure that she's drawn close to the connection. And so that's the whole purpose, is to help people draw close to that connection. Scott's going through the same stuff right now. Going through the same stuff. Y'all need somebody to pray for him. Because it's his job to foster a connection for a lot of folks right now that are looking for answers. Those are the three things that God asked me and that I answered incorrectly every single time, okay? Is one, why are you the way that you are? Well, if you're negative and if you see the worst in people and you hang on to your money and you're that person, it's because you didn't let Christ answer a lot of questions when you were going through all those things. And maybe it happened before you came to know Christ. Maybe you became this person before you came to know Christ. So my question, the solution is, get rid of all those preconceived things that you thought that you knew. And see what Jesus says about it. Okay, that's been the hardest thing for me lately. I'm a passionate guy. I get real fired up. Somebody does me wrong, I want to take care of it. I'm just being honest with you guys. And I walk around with this chip on my shoulder as a wrestler. If you've ever met any of us, we're weird. We always feel shortchanged anyway, and most of us are short, and like we're ready to like bow up and be like, what's up? Okay? And so God is, I'm being honest with you, and most of us are short, and we got that short man syndrome. God has challenged me a lot. I said, man, that's not what Jesus did. Jesus was patient. There's times, right, for righteous anger, but Jesus was patient, okay? And people are going to watch me when people do me wrong and say, was he still that same guy where he learned to just fight for everything? Because I did when I was little. Or has God transformed his life? Is he a little more patient than he used to be? Is he starting to get it? And I ain't perfect, guys, but I'm trying to get it. Okay, so why are you the way that you are? And if you're in a bad way, if you ain't what you would consider right, then maybe let's relearn some things. Okay, let's relearn some things. Let's not let the world teach us how to act. Let's let Christ teach us how to act. What do you want? Really doesn't matter. unless it's to have a better relationship with Christ. The rest of the stuff, guys, it's going to happen. You can't control if you got money in the stock market. You can't control whether that's going up or down. You can make good investments and good decisions, but you can't control that. 90% is how you react to it. How do you react to those changes? How do you react to things? Okay? And so we can't control things. So what we want is irrelevant. We're either going to get it or we're not going to get it in the physical. But in the spiritual, if we're wanting a better connection with Jesus Christ, the rest of that stuff's going to be okay. People are going to watch. People are going to watch. And lastly, who are you connected to? Right? Because if it's not to Jesus Christ, if it's to a church, if it's to a preacher, if it's to, Bethel worship, you're in the wrong spot. Bethel worship is great. They got some good songs. I can put it on and I can feel better. But if my connection to worship is I feel better, I feel peace when they sing, I'm missing the boat. Man, from time to time, every now and then we get it up here, right? And it goes well when we have that worship service and I can look out and I can see everybody plastered. But if your connection is to that experience and not to the one that we're singing to, we're missing the boat. We're missing the boat. And so, this morning we're not going to ask for musicians to come and make it, all ooey gooey and make us feel good. I don't feel like that's where we're at this morning. I feel like God wants to know, where's your connection at? Where's your connection at? And if it's a little off center this morning, I feel like He wants it to get back on. I think there's a lot of self inventory that God wanted us to take a look at this morning. Where are we and where is our true connection? There's a lot of good things, guys. It's good to be connected to the ministry in Honduras. It's a good thing. I promise you, it's a good thing. But if that's your only connection to Jesus, we're wrong. It's your personal connection, your daily bread. When you wake up, what's your perspective? Thank you, Jesus, for letting me breathe again. It could be a lot worse. Thank you, Jesus, for letting me go to school today and talk to a lot of kids that are hurting. Thank you, Jesus, for letting me hurt, because it lets me know that everything, we get in this thing in society, and I'm rambling now, and I apologize. I promise I'll close it up here in just a second, where, if we're depressed for a little while because something bad's happened to us, the world tells us, oh, well, you need this, and you need that, and you need the other. No, guys, it's okay to be sad. It's all right. If something bad happens, it's okay to be sad. Somebody does you wrong, it's okay to be mad. It's not okay to stay there. It's not okay to stay there. Okay, we've got to find, or we got to shake it off and step up. We got to find a way out of that, and the way that we find out of that is that connection to Christ. Stay connected to Christ. Your depression, this too will pass, right? Your anger, this too will pass. But make sure that your connection to Jesus is where it's supposed to be. And so here's what I want to do this morning. I'm going to ask you to stand up. I'm going to pray. If you feel like you need to come to the altar, if you want to sit in your seat, take some self-inventory and start asking those questions to yourself and saying, where does Christ fit into this? Because if it's not at the center, we're wrong. Doesn't mean that we're bad people. Doesn't mean that you're the worst people. What it means is we just got to fix some things. We got to fix some things. I told you today's practice. Right, today's the practice. Tomorrow's the game. You're not going to have anybody high-fiving you. James is not going to follow you around with the guitar and play that song you like so you can help do your thing. You're on your own tomorrow, right? None of us will be there. He will. And so that's the connection that we've got to work on, right? And so ask yourself, where is it that I'm missing it? I'm missing it in a lot of places, guys. I'm just being honest with you. I'm missing it in a lot of places, and I've got to center up Christ in those things, whether it's relationships, whether it's how I act at work versus how I act at home or how I interact with people. So I'm going to pray for you, and if you feel like coming down, great, and if you don't, that's okay too, and we're going to make it nice and awkward because it ain't about it's about that connection. So, Lord, we just come to you today, God. I thank you so much for the opportunity to be here, God, and Lord, bring the word that I feel like you've asked me to bring this morning, God. And that question is, what's our connection with you? Are we missing the boat in places, God? And I thank you for helping to center me up, God. I thank you for revealing the places in my life that I was not hitting the mark. And so, God, my desire is that I'm hitting the mark, not to hit the mark, but because it brings me closer to you. God, I pray that I get closer to you. And if I can get closer to you, I'm going to start hitting the mark, Father. And so I just pray right now, anybody that's in here that's missing something, God, that's off the mark. Their life's off the mark. My prayer is that they go and press into you and not run away from you, Father. Because there are going to be vipers that show up. There's going to be shipwrecks that happen. There's going to be good things that happen. There's going to be bad things that happen. But the one thing that will remain, Father, is the relationship with me and you. Because I have, not because I have nowhere else to go, God, because you're the only place I want to go. And so, God, I just pray right now, Father God, that we take some time and we take some inventory, Father God, and we make some deals with you. In Jesus' name.